Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
He could launch. He could absolutely launch. But he would do that after he'd hit each screen. Oh, go.
Miles Straw bidding for a home run deep to left. And a catch is not made by Hayes. That's over the wall.
Into center field. Playable. Miles Straw waits for it. The Astros have a 9-game winning streak. Longest winning streak for Houston since the 2019 team had a couple of 10-game winning streaks. Tonight was a tight game, but they win it 3-1.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Yes, it is. Clint Sterner's in the building. Tyler Milner with that beautiful open. I think Tyler's just going to have an open every time the Astros win. So you have to continue to do that.
I just like the way it always ends with that train.
You like
yes,
that?
Sir.
Yes, sir.
That's
pulling out of the station, baby.
Choo-choo, mother.
Whoa. We're live. We're not in prep anymore there, big guy.
Here we go. Hit your fingers on the dump button,
probably not the time for you to push that envelope, big dog.
No, push it. Push it.
Don't push that
envelope.
Push
it, baby. I'm in for pushing it. And you know what else I'm in for?
I don't need either one of y'all to push it. I like the threesome we got going on here, boys.
Okay. As they said, 9-game winning streak for the Astros. They've won yet another series now against the Orioles. They go for the sweep tonight. But damn it, it feels good to be right. Oh, boy, it feels be right. As we made a bet yesterday, double or nothing.
Yeah, Tyler bet my damn money. I knew it would
happen.
I shouldn't have let him do it.
With this Astros lineup, they would not score 5 runs. And I also said repeatedly, they're going to win 3-1, but they're not going to score 5 runs because the bottom of that order. And damn it, it feels good to be right.
You did say it, but you didn't have that kind of conviction in your voice.
Oh, I said it multiple times. Who cares? I picked the score. Don't try to take it from me.
Hold on,
Joe. Don't try to take it.
I know many of you are upset. I saw you on Twitter who were mad.
At 08th inning, had that old thing puckered up, didn't it?
Very nervous. Very nervous. Said it here. I said, honey, you got to turn off this Everybody Loves Raymond. We got to chill this in right here. But everybody, I saw it. Very upset. Very upset. Damn, I was hoping Joe would have to pay that up. Those 8 drinks. Nope.
Well, I was going to share my drinks with my Twitter people. I was going to share them. I was planning on, you know, running this old tab up pretty high until Tyler got in my piggy bank and he screwed it up. I'll get back up. There ain't no big deal.
Yeah, you know I'm an idiot. I'll continue to make bad bets. But no, they win last night, 9 in a row. And Clint, man, it's again, we've talked about offense. That's not how they won last night.
Right.
They won pitching, defense. Miles Straw, who you have hatred for, but Miles Straw came through, 2 RBIs, including another home run. He looked pretty confident on that swing. Made an actual really good defensive play in the field to help Zach Greinke. But they won a different way last night, which is also very impressive for the Astros.
Is this what we're doing? Are we gonna tally Miles Straw's confident swings now? Is that where we're at with the Astros at this point?
I'm just putting forth the facts and the evidence.
I think my assessment of Miles Straw is rather accurate.
Well, he's the one who threw it in your face.
Nonetheless, look, it's just we made a point yesterday. If the starting pitcher for the Astros gives you six plus innings, this is going to be a difficult team to beat. Very, very, very difficult team to beat, regardless of the lineup. And last night, you know, like you said, they won a game when the quote unquote others, the Miles Straw, the Garcias, the you know all these other guys that are McCormicks, you know, that are getting at bats, they had been hot, right? They had been hot last night. They weren't, and they were still able to win. But that's simply because Zach Greinke gives you seven plus, and when the starting pitcher goes that deep in a game, this baseball team is going to be very, very difficult to beat. And I think it's not a stretch saying that. It's not breaking news. It's just a matter of fact. This is the best team in baseball unless the starter that trots out there is just an absolute mess. And when I say that, I'm not talking about just struggles through a couple innings, gives up three runs. They can win that way as well. But if the starter goes out there and doesn't mess the bed early in the game and get his pitch count so high to where Brent Strom and Dusty Baker have to figure out what to do with the four-inning window in the middle of a game. If they don't, if the opponent doesn't get them in that position, it's going to be tough as hell to beat these boys once, much less in a damn series.
But the scary thing about it is, even in that scenario, because the greatest strength of their team, they're still in it. They could still score enough runs. Yeah. That's the scary. See, to me, last night, that should scare the hell out of the rest of the league. Last night, and then when you take it back to until game two of the White Sox series, the game against Carlos Rendon, that game, and you look at last night's game, that could make them the scariest team in baseball because everyone knows they're going to hit you. I mean, they're going to get to you. Like, they're going to put up five, six runs. I mean, that's just what they do. I mean, we've been looking at it, 10 runs. That's what they do. But if they can win games the way they won yesterday, where, as you call it, the others are the ones driving in all the runs, three of them, Miles Straw, two, and Chaz McCormick.
Chazzy Fizz, white boy Chaz. You can't just call him Chaz. It's the rule of the show. Between 2 and 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610, Chaz doesn't exist.
I'm breaking
it's either
one.
Chazzy Fizz or white boy Chaz. You got two choices.
I'm breaking that one. But he drives in a third. They drive in all three runs. They play good defense. Miles Straw, who I know I've criticized, defensively came up with a big-time catch in center field yesterday. And then the bullpen came in and shut it down after Greinke. And Rayleigh shut him down, and Presley continued to do. If they can win games scoring three runs, defense, and their bullpen, that makes them the scariest team in baseball. Because as you talked about in the series, you know they probably going to get you for three games where they're hitting, you know, they're scored six, seven runs.
Yeah.
And they're going to win this way too. I mean, it's just you just throw your hands up in the air at that point if they're going to beat you with pitching, defense, and bullpen.
Well, I hate to get in a conversation 70 games, you know, 70 plus games into a season and really put the horse before the cart or the cart before the horse, however the hell the saying goes.
That's a second
one. I hate to get into that because at any point in time things could shift. But if you look at the Astros, things would have to shift in order for this strength of the Astros in terms of the lineup and the starting rotation. In order for those things to shift in a major way where they're not considered one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team in baseball, the wheels would have to come off multiple starters.
Yeah.
And the wheels would have to come off multiple hitters. Or you would have to have some serious – you have to have some hitters and starting pitchers get into a serious funk, right? I mean, that's what – it's not – we're not just talking about a team that's bebopping along here and they're hot. We're talking about a team with six starting pitchers that are toe-to-toe on who the best starter is for this team. I mean, I know you can rank them and obviously by name you can put a list of who you would take. But when you look at their last few outings and you look at the ERAs and you look at how electric their stuff is, I mean, these guys are neck and neck with each other. And when you look at the lineup, the lineup's the same way. We've said it multiple times. When you're talking 1 through 7, whoever's batting 6th and 7th probably doesn't deserve it, right? I mean, so that's the part that's impressive to me, Show, is that they're so deep in both categories that it literally would take the wheels coming off of multiple players offensively and on the mound for them to lose this momentum.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Odyssey and presented by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, Tyler, our trusty producer, what is the latest breaking news?
Well, speaking of those Astros and the Bats, boys, the Astros have activated Kyle Tucker off the injured list. They optioned Garrett Stubbs to AAA and transfer Kent Emanuel to the 60-day injured list.
Yeah, Garrett Stubbs just been really working that trip from Houston to Sugar Land, just back and forth. That's just been his thing. But Kyle Tucker, Dusty Baker kind of pushed to the fact that he may be back today, and Kyle Tucker is activated, and they just got stronger. Clint, they just got stronger offensively, and Kyle Tucker, we'll see how he looks. I know he lost some weight. Dusty yesterday said he'd almost gained most of his weight back, but they add another weapon, a guy who is second or third on the team in home runs, is back there, and he was starting to swing the bat really, really well. Kyle Tucker back.
So you got to figure that from yesterday's game, tonight they'll have Correa back in the lineup.
Yep.
And they'll have Kyle Tucker back in the lineup, healthy and ready to rock and roll. Again, with an opportunity to sweep, they already won it. They won the first two, so they've already won another series. Look, opportunity to get another W, because right now the reality of it is, I said this yesterday twice, is Houston, you need to be rooting for the Texas Rangers. They're playing the Oakland A's right now. They lost last night, so you didn't make up any ground with the victory. But if the Texas Rangers can get a W tonight versus the A's, and the Astros can go ahead and get this sweep versus the Orioles, then you can start stretching that lead out in the division. And now's a great time to do it when you're hotter than a firecracker. You're getting Tucker back. Correa's back in the lineup. Let's make a push.
Yeah, and baseball's weird. So, like, you know, weird things happen. Like, the Astros got swept by the Rangers earlier this year. It's weird. But you look at this 10-game stretch starting with this series with the Orioles, 3 against the Orioles, I believe 4 against the Tigers, and then 3 more against the Orioles in Minute Maid. That 10-game stretch, I mean, you feel like, boy, maybe you could really stretch this out. You could really stretch this lead out against the A's, and that's big.
That's why I keep bringing it up, Show, is because it's not. This is a big opportunity to really stretch it out, because you've got a pretty friendly schedule over the next several games, and I believe the A's, after they play the Rangers, I believe they got a pretty tough opponent. So if I remember correctly, I've looked at the schedule several times, but you got a chance, man, to rattle off some W's here, win some series, if not sweep some series. And if you can stretch this thing out before the All-Star break and get you a nice, comfortable lead rolling into the second half of the season, that would be beautiful.
That would be. So if you missed it, this just coming through, breaking news. The Astros activate Kyle Tucker. He is back from his stint from the IL, 10-day IL, and they send Garrett Stubbs back down. So the Astros will only Bregman is now really missing out of the lineup, should be at full strength. Looking for their 10th straight win and a sweep against the Orioles. All right, remember, your chance to win $1,000, $345 is your next chance to win $1,000. So make sure you're locked and loaded right here at Sports Radio 610 and Clint Sterner and the show. And so with training camp looming, 35 days until training camp and then 82 days until this thing kicks off for the Texans coming up, one real major thing that should give folks concern, and Clint has the experience to back that up. He'll let you hear what that is coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
35 days away from training camp. Nobody will cover that better than we will right here at Sports Radio 610. And I know there are some Texans fans out there who will text in and call in and tweet us and say they don't care if they win any games. But there are many who are going to be sitting there and every Sunday watching the Texans and cheering for them and hoping they win. Right, I think that's going to be the majority of fans. And there are some things that they have done to improve this team, especially the middle and the back part of the team. So there are some things that you can say have improved. But, Clint, I know from talking to you, there is one thing that you still have concern about. And if you are a Texans fan and you're rooting for them to win every week, this is still the one thing that – you just don't know and you should have concern about.
Well, I think it's if you just wanted to make progress, right? I mean, win or lose at this point in time is really – I mean, I know in the big scheme of things it's all that matters, but ultimately in this rebuild, year one, the record is really not the priority, so to speak. And I'm more concerned about the team navigating a season that's going to be full of adversity. And – the fact that the David Culley buy-in at this point in time, in my opinion, is a very, very fragile thing. The good vibe guy, it works in the offseason. It works in the hallways of NRG when you're in it, when you go from a coach that's like Bill O'Brien that's stepping on everybody's throat on a daily basis and has everybody walking on eggshells. The good vibe guy works. Initially out of the gate in those situations. It works in the building with corporate America as long as ticket sales are there. But the one place that it doesn't work for long is in the locker room if that's all you bring to the table, right? And I've joked with you about when we had Ingram on, the new running back, Mark Ingram, the running back from the Ravens for the Texans now, and how you put him in a spot and asking, what does David Culley bring to the table? You know, we've asked Nick Caserio that. We've asked, not we being the media, not we as me and show, but we've heard these questions asked a million times, and it's very, very clear that it's unknown what David Culley brings to the table outside of energy, smiling, you know, motivational, you know, can relate to the players, friendly guy, change the atmosphere. And that's that good vibe guy that I'm talking about. That stuff works until it gets real in the season. And I think one of the major concerns with this football team is when they hired David Culley. Yet it's going to work great when they want to hire the staff around David Culley and they want to call all the shots and they don't want a head coach that's going to ruffle their feathers. But man, when you get into the thick of things, and it's about that coach and that locker room, and adversity hits, which it's going to hit in a rebuild, and it's going to hit in a big, big way, and it's probably going to hit multiple times. It's going to be very, very difficult for David Culley, based off of what I've seen, to keep that locker room together and for David Culley to be that leader that the locker room looks to in those adverse times. And as I said, it's going to hit in a big way, and it's going to hit multiple times. I just don't know if the buy-in is going to be strong enough to the good vibe guy to survive those types of situations.
Because you've been here. You've been in locker rooms like this, and we've talked about it. You said you played for a coach that almost kind of reminds you of him in Dave Campo.
Yep.
Where did and where could you see the buy-in breaking? Because it seems like the buy-in is strong right now. And I think as you've been talking, like, hey, man, we're right now in the early session. This is the change from Bill O'Brien. Everybody likes coming to work and feels good about coming to work. When is it, do you see where the problem could be where, all right.
When it hits. It's unfortunate, but it's just like life, man. When you don't know whether you're ready for it and you don't know how you're going to react to it until adversity hits you dead in the face. And that's the concern is, and it's a monster. In Culley's defense, it's a monster in today's game to be a leader, a coach, a decision maker, a guy that has to hold everybody accountable, but also be that good vibe guy that you want to be their buddy, right? He's towing a line here that is difficult to do in today's game for some of the best in the business, but the best in the business got pelts on the wall that players are chasing and they'll listen. David Culley doesn't. David Culley is a coach that just negotiated OTAs for minicamp, right? David Culley is a guy that is bringing energy and fun back to the game. Those things are all fine and dandy until you get punched in the face. And the question is when that happens, and you the team rattles off 4, 5, 6 straight losses, do you lose the locker room, or do you have the ability to relate to these guys, and do you have the authority to remain that leader, that head coach, and keep the guys together and keep them moving in the right direction, or does the locker room splinter and these guys start doing their own thing? I'm concerned based on just what we've seen from David Culley to this point and based on his resume as well, having never been a head coach. There's more reason to be concerned than there is to have confidence that it's gonna work out.
713-572-4610, call, text in. Do you think that's fair? Is it fair to have concern of the buy-in factor? If you're just jumping in, we're discussing here with the Texans 34 days away, until training camp starts. And there, the big concern for Clint Steele is the buy-in factor. The buy-in factor with David Culley as the head coach. Because I think we would both agree, a lot of what Nick Caserio and Jack and their group have done, what they've done, I would say I like more of what they've done since they've taken over in terms of how they've run the team and the moves they've made. I understand what their plan is, but that one part of what their plan was a lot of veteran guys they brought in. Well, and when you talk about buy-in, trying to have veteran guys buy in to that, maybe it'd be easier if it was a crew of young guys that didn't have a lot of experience with coaches in the NFL with David Culley. But now you're also talking about veteran guys that he's got to try to make buy in.
There's two things, show, right? Is rubber's got to meet the road at some point in time. Right now in the offseason with the draft, signing free agents, hiring team presidents and all this kind of job, even hiring staff, that was a front office deal, right?
Yeah.
Dealing with Deshaun Watson, that's a front office deal. Yeah, they've shoved David Culley out there a few times, and he's not looked good in those circumstances. But all in all, that's really a front office. That's an NFL. That's a – That's an off-the-field issue. Sooner or later, the rubber has to meet the road, right? In other words, sooner or later, the season starts. And Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, they can't be there to save you. They can't be there to be the face of the organization like we said Nick Caserio no doubt is. At some point, it comes down to the head coach, the staff, and the players in the locker room. And I'm just telling you, at this point in time, that good vibe guy is as a player, man, it's a relief. It's like, damn, great. We can finally come work out, and we don't have somebody stepping on our damn throat because we stayed out till 1 a.m. last night, or because we had a little gathering that, you know, may have lasted a little longer than it should have lasted. You know, we finally got some freedom, and we're finally getting treated like grown men here. And that's great in the offseason, but when you got to come together in that locker room after getting embarrassed on national TV, which is going to happen. This team is in rebuild. It's going to happen, right? It's more difficult to buy in at that moment than at any other moment in a season. And I just question whether David Culley has the substance as a head coach to retain and keep that buy-in from this roster in those moments. And it's a concern at this point. I don't know. I could be. I hope I'm dead ass wrong. I hope David Culley has the ability to do it. I hope he's the glue.
You're not saying that this is what's going to happen. It's just from your experience playing in the National Football League and being in a similar situation as this with that type of team, you could see it. And I think my thought is to think of some of the veterans, because that's what the Texans have here, and Mark Ingram and yep. Laremy Tunsil and Justin Britt and Roby and guys like that. You think of some of the veterans, I think to myself, for what you played with guys like Eric Williams and Larry Allen and Darren Woodson and Mark Stefanowski and Joey Galloway, and the thought is, how difficult would the buy-in factor for those guys, how would it be if they were sitting in front of David Culley? And then you start to translate that. I could see why that would be a concern to you.
Those dudes, I'm going to tell you, the vet, they're always going to do what's right, right? I mean, the guys you rattled off, they're always going to do what's right. It's just not in them to half-ass. It's not in them to be a cancer in the locker room. It's not in them to buck the system. They're going to do what's right. They're going to show up and work hard. But to think that those guys don't see through the BS, because at some point that's what it's going to be. The good vibes and the happy-go-lucky energy, at some point when the rubber meets the road, it ain't about that. And the veterans that have been there and done it, they know that. And so it's not so much as a negative thing as it is they see right through it and they take the situation for what it is, right? And it's unfortunate, but it's the truth of the matter. I experienced that personally. And it's whether you're a veteran or you're a rookie, you can see through that stuff in times of adversity. And the question right now is, which way do they go, and can David Culley keep the locker room in those tough times? Because there ain't no doubt about it, the tough times are coming.
Yeah, there they are. Ryan McDonough, our NBA insider, the guy who put together this Phoenix Suns team, who may be on their way to the NBA Finals. The Rockets got the number 2 pick. He's a former GM that put this Suns team together that could go to the finals. What would he do with what the Rockets have with the number 2 pick? We'll hear from him coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner
and the show.
The second pick will be made by the Houston Rockets.
That's right, baby. The Houston Rockets last night. Clint said they were going to get the number one pick, and I almost thought it was going to happen. But the Pistons get the number one overall pick, but the Rockets get the second pick. At least disaster didn't occur where they were falling under four, and that pick would have been flip-flopped with the Miami Heat, and they would have gone down to 18. But they have the number two overall pick, and no better to have on a good friend of the show. You've heard him on Clint Sterner and the show a ton. It is Ryan McDonough on the line, our Odyssey NBA insider, Ryan McDonough. And remember, all insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Ryan, the number two pick, you're a former GM in this league. You've put together teams. You've put together parts of this Phoenix Suns team that may go to the NBA Finals. The Rockets have the number two overall pick. They have 23-24 to kick off this rebuild. Where would you go? What would you be looking at to rebuild this team?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's been a while. Always great to be on with the two of you. And I'll give you the real answer, as we always do, Clint, in the show. When you're in a front office, you say, you know, we're just going to pick wherever. And then wherever the pick ends up, you say, oh, we're happy with it. There are a good crop of players available. We're going to get somebody good. But in reality, that's not always the case, right? That's a lot of front office speak. So last night was huge for the Houston Rockets, getting a top two pick. If Detroit does what is anticipated at one, they take Cade Cunningham, the big, talented, versatile guard out of Oklahoma State, then Raphael Stone and his staff and the Rockets front office have a number of good options available to them. Most of the guys that I talk to around the league who I really respect their evaluation ability think there are four or five elite players in this year's draft, including Evan Mobley, the big man from USC, Jalen Green, the talented shooting guard who played for the G League Ignite this year, and then Jalen Suggs, who you're listeners probably very familiar with, watching them lead Gonzaga to the national championship game before they're undefeated, and others, right? They'll look at Davion Mitchell and others. So the Rockets are in a really good spot. And guys, not every draft is created equal. Luckily for Rockets fans and your listeners in Houston, this is a very talented draft at the top, and the Rockets should get a very, very good prospect with the second pick.
Ryan, one thing you didn't mention in all of that is something that I saw last night on social media, for what it's worth. It was the notion that from Tillman Fertitta, Rockets owner, that possibly they could maybe trade that number two overall pick. Do you see that as a possibility, or is that a non-factor?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I mean, I think they'd have to be careful doing that, given how talented I think those guys are who are likely to be available with the second pick in the draft. But they did the right thing. I mean, look, from a front office and organizational perspective, you always say that we may trade the pick, right? Because you never know what the offer is going to be. Obviously, this wouldn't happen. But if the Dallas Mavericks call and say, hey, we'll trade Luka Doncic for number two, or New Orleans says the same thing with Zion Williamson, well, you have to be open to that. Or if somebody even throws in a veteran star in their prime, so you have to vet out all those possibilities, see how realistic they are. My guess is they keep the pick, guys. As you know, the Rockets had the worst record in the league this year. They've been through a lot, but they need a lot as well. They need a lot of talent and young talent. And the most sustainable way to build a championship contender over the long term is to draft and then develop those elite players. That's what we started to do in Phoenix. We ran out of time, but the Suns are reaping the benefits of that now. And my opinion, that's what the Rockets should do as well, unless an unbelievable Godfather offer comes in that totally blows them away.
Sports Radio 610, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough joining us on Sports Radio 610. Ryan, how rich is that first round draft this year for the Rockets with the 2, the 23, and the 24? How rich is that?
Well, I mean, certainly that's a good return. What I would look at, guys, what I think Stone and his staff will do is look at 22, 23 and 24 in the later part of the first round and see what those would bring in terms of maybe trade one for a, you know, young veteran player who can help the team win. Maybe you can package those two picks and move up. As you know, they need a lot, but they do have some young talent on the roster. I mean, Christian Wood had a very good year last year before he got injured. And you know, they've had other young players stand out as well at different times. Kevin Porter Jr., who they got from Cleveland, was a bit of a revelation. So the point there is they're going to get a really good player at two. I don't think they necessarily need three more rookies. You know, so I'd look at 23 and 24 as, you know, perhaps being in play. You could try to package to move up. You could trade one and keep one, or you could even roll one or two of those over into a future draft to spread your assets out a little bit so you don't have a number of young players joining the organization all at the same time.
Our Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough joins us. Remember, all insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. I wonder where you go with this, because I just look at it and I see Evan Mobley, and I know he's a very talented guy, and there's some concern to me that he was at times had issues with being aggressive. What's your thought with the big man? The big man, this seems to be a wings and guards league right now, and to me, Green seems like the pick with the way the league is going right now. Your thoughts on the big man?
Yeah, what I would say, Sho, is I understand what you're saying, and a lot of that is accurate with the perimeter players dominating the league. However, I think what they need to determine in Houston's front office is if Evan Mobley is special. And I bring that up because we had about a 20-year drought between big men MVPs going all the way back to Shaq in the early 2000s. Well, who was the MVP this year? In a runaway, Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets. My midseason MVP before he got injured was Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers. So if you think he's going to be one of those guys, if you think he has the potential to be like those guys or Anthony Davis, then you pull the trigger. And because Evan Mobley is kind of a new age big man. He's versatile. He can play on the perimeter. He can stretch the floor a little bit. He can sit down and guard a little bit and move his feet defensively. So he fits the prototype of what you would want. And that's the calculation for Houston's front office. Can he be special? Because, you know, even going back to a year ago, Anthony Davis was the second best player on a championship caliber team. We'll see what, you know, DeAndre Ayton's able to do for Phoenix the rest of the way. He's certainly off to a good start in his playoff career. So that's what Stone and his staff have to determine. Can Mobley be special? And if so, I wouldn't hesitate to draft him number two overall if they think he's the best prospect on the board.
As a former GM, do you see that out of Mobley? Do you see him in the range of Jokic and Anthony Davis and Embiid?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I need to do some more film work on him. Obviously, I don't dig into the level that I did on the team side, although I did watch him play quite a bit at USC. A guy I really like is Jalen Suggs, the guard out of Gonzaga. You know, led the team to an undefeated season all the way to the national championship game. Obviously, they were upset by Baylor, hit that historic shot to beat UCLA in the semifinal. I just think that kid's a winner. I think he's a leader and a winner. I think if you go back and look at his high school career, he was an outstanding quarterback who could have played QB at just about any school in the country. He's tough. You know, I think he rises to the occasion, and he's got a lot of what you're looking for as a you know, modern NBA guard and a franchise leader. So I take a long look at him. Also, Jalen Green, your listeners probably haven't seen him as much. He's really talented. I was impressed by his talent playing for the G League Ignite. He might have the most upside of anybody in this draft. He's got that star potential and that athletic burst that most of the great players and the great scorers have. So I think those two guys will be strongly in the mix. I'd lean to one of them, probably Suggs or Green, slightly over Mobley as we sit here a month or so before the draft.
Ryan, I was watching that that Phoenix game last night. And by the way, if you had anything to do with that, the Valley concept with the jersey and the court, well done, man. That's pretty sharp. But no, I heard the commentators last night say that two seasons ago, Phoenix was next to worst record in the league. And so they've turned that thing around. I mean, in a very short period of time, considering what they're doing right now. When you look at the Rockets, you've seen what they went through last year. Now we know what the draft this year is going to look like. How possible, how quickly can they turn this thing around?
Well, they can do it quickly if they make the right moves. One thing I would say, guys, I mean, we started some of the rebuild in Phoenix when I was there in 2013 to 18 and kind of ran out of time with it. But what they should do, in my opinion, is find a young core of three or four players. I wouldn't recommend more than that. I think if you look at the history of teams that have tried to develop, you know, six or seven young guys at the same time, it's almost never worked out. But you find an elite group of three or four young players and then, frankly, have to move on from some of the rest who are maybe they might go on to have solid careers elsewhere, but if you don't think those guys have star potentials or can't be starters or at the very least rotational players on a championship caliber team, as painful as it is, you have to move on quickly and surround them and supplement them with veterans. I think that's what they've done well in Phoenix. When my group was there, we drafted Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. They hung on to those three guys, moved on from some other young guys who didn't work out as well, and then obviously the big move this summer for Chris Paul, and then supplementing them with Jay Crowder and other veterans. I think they've done an excellent job of that, and I think Houston would be wise to try to follow that blueprint as well, as long as or as soon as they have the young core in place.
You hear that, Clint? Ryan, don't let them know. Yeah, go ahead and let them know. When we were there, we drafted Booker, Ayton, and Bridges. Make sure you get that out. I think you should get a ring if they win the championship, Ryan. And you and your group, you should get a ring. But, yeah, make sure you let everybody know. That core on that team, we drafted them, baby. I like that from you. I saw you sneak that in, Ryan. That is.
Hey, we're journalists, Joe. I just got to be accurate, you know, in my reporting. By the way, I do have a ring from the Celtics in 2008, but I could use a purple and orange one as well. The green and silver one's pretty nice, too.
Come on, baby.
All right, Ryan, thank you for jumping on with us. And we can't wait to hear you next month coming up during the finals. We'll love to get your insight on everything that's going on. And especially if that Suns team is there, we know you know them very, very well. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Anytime, guys. It's going to be a great month. We got the finals and we got the draft. And now your Rockets have the number 2 pick. So we'll break it all down next time I'm on.
All right. Thank you. That's our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey NBA Insider, Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make. That's Ryan McDonough. Appreciate him there. And
That sounds pretty promising, man. For what the Rockets have available, and it, regardless of what happens at one, what they're going to have available at two, along with the possibilities of what they can do with 23 and 24 later in that first round. I mean, that's a pretty promising report from a guy that's been in the boardroom. He's been behind the closed door when all these conversations have made the decisions for an organization that right now is as good a team. A team top to bottom as there is in the NBA. So pretty promising report there, man.
Well, Clint Ryan, he done it for me. He said it. We've talked about this with Davis Mills. We've talked about this with him and comparing him to Tyrod Taylor and whoever else is around here. He said Jalen Green may have the highest ceiling of anybody in the draft. Well, I mean, you're picking number 2 right now. I mean, what they did, he said they drafted Devin Booker. They found their wing player, their guard, who had a high ceiling to really kick this thing off. We know Chris Paul came and did his magic, but we look at this. I mean, this dude, Devin Booker, just had a 40-point triple-double in game one, and that they did their thing. They found that guy. He said that dude has the highest ceiling in the draft. I'm sorry.
That's where you got
to
go, huh?
That's where, to me. I mean, this kid's fair 19. Enough. To me, that's like you got to take your chance at a really – like you come up here, you're looking for a superstar, right? And you're in a draft at this point, and Cade Cunningham is probably going to be off the table, although the Detroit Pistons have done stupid before. So it's not like in 2004 with Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on the table, they chose Darko Milicic. So they have done stupid before. But you would think they would draft Cade Cunningham. And, man, he said the highest upside, that just to me right there is the one that sells.
Yeah, I'm with you on the upside for sure. I mean, you got to get a superstar. But I tell you, Show, one thing, did you hear Ayton last night in his post-game presser?
No, I didn't.
After he scored in 0.1 seconds, by the way, which I think that was the fastest bucket I've ever seen scored in my life. They had the ball out of bounds with 0.8 seconds left, and they scored a bucket, and the Clippers had a chance with 0.7 seconds left on the clock. Not sure how the hell that happened, but they pulled it off. But anyway, Ayton – after the game when he's interviewed his first literally that's got to be the biggest moment of his career at this point in time. I mean, right? I mean, that's got to be Ayton's biggest moment of his career. I mean, he literally says, "Hey, man, I just do what my coaches ask me to do, what my teammates need me to do. I'm extremely coachable." I mean, you get a superstar that has that approach. Obviously, Booker has a similar approach because Chris Paul comes in and he don't buck the system. He doesn't push back on Chris Paul. Chris Paul takes the reins and is the leader that he's always been, and it works. It's a top to bottom, really, really quality basketball team. And so, yes, I agree with you. That high ceiling, that superstar, that's money. There's no doubt about it. The guy's got to be elite. He's got to be a special player. But, boy, if you can go out there and get one like Ryan McDonough and these guys did, appear to have gotten several of them in Phoenix, man, if you can get a guy that prides himself on being coachable and doing what his coach says and what his teammates need him to do, then you really got something.
Real quick, I heard you say you like those jerseys in the court.
Yeah. You damn right.
I like them, but I don't like them as they're going with them as their primary jersey. I don't know. Maybe
if it wasn't Phoenix and it wasn't a Valley and it didn't have that significant, like that meaning behind it, and it wasn't like a legitimate like Phoenix, Arizona type of
yeah,
vibe,
with the cactus and stuff.
Yeah, then I wouldn't be with it. It's like out in Golden State when they have the tree, right, on their shirt. Like that means something to the city. They make the logo look live. Yeah,
it's like they're wearing their side piece jersey. Like I like the Rockets with that powder blue jersey.
Well, it's like the Rockets putting H-Town across their chest.
I love that, but you know the playoffs. It's a side jersey. It's an alternate jersey, man. Give me the white and the red.
Those blues are clean, man.
Like the Suns, I feel like sometimes I just hate. Sometimes I'm watching them. I feel like, who is this? Oh, I see these damn cactuses. Like Utah, wear those weird color jerseys that's nowhere close to their color scheme. Yeah.
Oh, they're trying to be like the old Astros.
Yeah, I hate that, man. I hate it so much. It's the playoffs, man.
I
don't.
I love it. I like the jersey.
I do like the jersey in the court. It's just. Like,
I could get behind it, man. Like being a fan, like that's something really, really, really cool that you can get behind. I love the H-Town on the Rockets chest. I love alternate uniforms.
Yeah, I do. I love alternate uniforms every once in a while.
Yeah, they may be overdoing it, but I can if they overdo it and it's one I like, I can get with it.
You can get with that.
Yeah, if it's one of them bad ones and they overdo it, like, what are we doing? What team is that somebody has
the Celtics
one.
Wears these ones where they have gold.
It's Brooklyn.
Those Brooklyns are awful. Or those ransom note ones. Have you seen the Cavs? They've got ones that look like ransom notes. The way the writing and the lettering.
Ransom notes.
It does. Go look up their alternate jerseys.
Like when people clip the letters?
Yes, it's awful.
You're
right. The Nets ones is foul.
It's the number. I mean, how the hell do you put together a uniform
and the court
that Kevin that you put Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden in and you still look like crap?
Yes.
How in the hell does that
Let's
happen?
Take James out of that. But those other two, yes.
Harden's worn them. I've seen him.
But I mean, he's heavy. I mean, he doesn't.
Oh, I didn't mean their physique. I meant the three of the best basketball players on the planet. I mean, how the hell do you do that? You look like hell. Yeah.
Just hell.
Good God.
The Astros win 9 straight. What makes them potentially the scariest team in baseball? I think we saw that last night. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.